Welcome to Divine Healers Church, New Jersey branch. We hope that you will be blessed by the following sermon. Stay tuned and God bless.
This morning, we are going to look at four kinds of givers in the Bible. Hallelujah. Shall we open our Bibles to the book of Haggai, chapter 1, verses 3 to 10. Hallelujah. So four kinds of givers in the Bible. We have the bag givers, we have the bin givers, we have the basket givers, and we have the excel givers. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We'll first look at the bag givers. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In the days of Haggai the prophet, the Israelites were so busy making money that they had no time for God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Does this sound familiar? Shall we read?
Praise the Lord. Haggai chapter 1, verse 3. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, "It is time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses, while this house of the Lord lies in ruins. Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways and set your mind on what has come to you. You have sown much, but you have reaped little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you do not have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages has earned them to put them in a bag with holes in it. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways, your previous and your present conduct, and how you have fared. Go up to the hill country and bring number and rebuild my house, and I will take pleasure in it. And I will be glorified, says the Lord, by accepting it and done for my glory and by displaying my glory in it. Amen.
Amen.
You looked for so much harvest, and behold, it came too little. And even when you have brought that home, I blew it away. Why? Says the Lord of hosts. Because of my house, which lies waste, while you yourselves run each man to his house, to his own house, to build and to adorn it."
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Verse 10 says, "Therefore the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its fruits." Hallelujah. So God said to them, "Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Consider your ways. You have sown much, but bring in little. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why? Says the Lord of hosts. Because of my house that is in ruins, whilst every one of you runs to his own house." Hallelujah.
Amen.
"Because of my house that lies in ruins, whilst each and every one of us live in our paneled, nice, comfortable houses." Hallelujah. It says the people were apparently using their poverty, food shortage, and inflation as excuses not to finish the temple. And in actuality, they were what? Reaping judgment on themselves. Because God said what? "As you bring in, whatever you bring in, what? I will blow away. I blew away." Hallelujah. "And what? The heavens above you, I will make it," what? "Withhold dew from you." Hallelujah.
Amen.
Much is given unto us. We work and work and work to make money. But all that work we're doing, we are not seeing so much yield from it. Why? Because our bags have holes in it. And why? Because the Lord is blowing away that which is coming in. The reason being is we are not given into the building of his temple like we should. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The reason being is that his temple is still incomplete. The reason being is that his temple is still halfway done. Whilst ours is complete. Our houses, our apartments are well furnished. Yes, they are. We do not sleep on the floor. Do we? How many of us sleep on the floor? I sleep on a big king bed. Hallelujah. And it is all the Lord's blessing. But guess what? He's blessing us. And yet, we are not giving enough. And so he says what? I'll put holes in your bags, in your bank accounts. Every time you bring it in, you're going to ask, all this money I'm making, where is the money going? We ask ourselves that most of the time. And this is the reason, hallelujah. As long as the temple of God lies in ruins or stays incomplete, we will work 24 hours all we want and yet not have enough to meet our needs, pay our bills, our debts, and save. Hallelujah. That's why in 1 Timothy 6:18-19, the Lord says, let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Hallelujah. Our giving, whether it be our time, ourselves, our money, is an investment that yields eternal dividends. Hallelujah. That's why God says in Matthew 6:19-21, do not lay for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Hallelujah. By giving into the house of the Lord, you are filling your heavenly bank account savings. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody say heavenly bank account savings. Hallelujah. Can you imagine all the work we do? You save $20,000 in your accounts, in your savings. One day you get into a car accident, you're dead. At that moment, that $20,000 you're not taking with you. At that moment, you are not enjoying that $20,000. At that moment, somebody else is enjoying all your hard work. Hallelujah. And guess what? You go to heaven because you haven't given much. There's not much in your account there either. So you die losing. Hallelujah. Amen. You lost what you worked so hard for here. You didn't have time to work to what? Build your heavenly bank account. So when you die, that one too, there's nothing there for you. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's sad. Hallelujah. That's really sad. Every time you give, the fact of the matter is you're filling your heaven bank account. And what better place to save than here on earth? We save for our retirement. Hallelujah. But are we retiring here on earth forever? No, we are not spending eternity here. We're spending eternity in heaven. So why not invest? Hallelujah. Why not invest? Every time you give your money, guess what? You just deposited in your treasury in heaven. Every time you give your time, you just deposited in your treasury in heaven. Every time you give your services to God, you just deposited in your treasury in heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. How is our bank account in heaven? Most of us, our bank accounts here, savings accounts here are empty anyway. But the thing is, mine can be empty all at once as long as my savings account in heaven is full. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what I'm most interested in. Hallelujah. I'm not saying that heaven is a reward for being a giver. Heaven is God's free gift based on Christ giving himself. Hallelujah. But those who have received God's free gift of eternal life will reap rewards in heaven in proportions, hallelujah, of their stewardship in this house, in this life, hallelujah. So first, give with God. Give. Don't worry about your bank account. Because when you give, he will take care of your earthly bank account, hallelujah. In Numbers 23:19, God says, I am not a man. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should change his mind. And we sing it around here all the time. Jema wuji gomo ni emale alogbomo bi ni echakere. Right? Okay. You see, he says, I am not the son of man. So if I have said, I will do. It's not like man who will say one thing, promise one thing, and then not deliver on it. Hallelujah. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he ever promised and not carried it through? So when he says he will open the windows of heaven and pour down blessings so great that we will have no room to contain it, he means it. Hallelujah. If you want God to be interested in your house, be interested in his house. If you want God to provide for your house, start providing for his house. Hallelujah. You say, how much should I give? God sets the baseline at 1/10. Hallelujah. Amen. Whatever you give beyond that will be determined by three things. Hallelujah. Your ability. Deuteronomy 16:17 says, every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessings of the Lord your God, which he has given you. By your ability. But guess what? If you decide to do beyond your ability, you have just become more than an ordinary giver. Hallelujah. And as we go on, we'll see what the Lord does when we give beyond our means. Hallelujah.
And it says that
it will also be based according to your love. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Matthew 22:37. If you love God, you will give out of the abundance of your heart. Also, your desire to reap. You want to reap more, sow more. Because guess what? God will multiply the seed that you have sown. 2 Corinthians 9:10. If you sow a little seed, that's how much dividend you're going to receive from it. You're going to get a small tree. Eh? You sow a lot of seeds. Guess what? You have a lot of trees growing. You have a lot of fruits. Harvest. Hallelujah. And so sow more, so you will reap more. Hallelujah. Amen. The second group of givers I call the bin givers. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's take a look at this from 1 Kings 17:8-24. Actually, you know what? We used this scripture last week. And so we should all be familiar with the story. Hallelujah. Amen. First Kings 17:8-24. Hallelujah. I'm just going to go through a brief summary of it, since most of us are already familiar. It says, in the middle of a devastating famine, God sent the prophet Elijah to Zarephath, saying he'd meet a widow there who would feed him. Now, why did God not send Elijah to a wealthy family? Think about it. Why didn't he send him to a wealthy family? Have we ever asked ourselves that? Why to this poor widow? That's because they did not need a miracle. But guess what? She did. Hallelujah. When Elijah asked this woman for something to eat, she told him that she has only a handful of flour in a bin. She had just enough for one more meal, then she and her son would die. Little did she know that this was going to be the best day of her life. Not the last day of her life. Hallelujah. She was about to step into miracle territory. Somebody say miracle territory. Hallelujah. But first, she had to overcome the fear of giving. Elijah said to her, do not fear. You make me a small cake from it first. Bring it to me, for thus says the Lord of hosts, the bin of flour shall not be used up until the day the Lord sends rain on earth. And as the story goes on, she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. The bin of flour was not used up day after day without fail. Hallelujah. She reached into the bin and found more flour. She discovered that when you obey God's word, he will meet your every need. Hallelujah. Amen. This morning I'm asking you, are you a bin giver? Are you afraid of letting go of what you have in case you don't have enough? Well, don't be. Because you can never outgive God. Hallelujah. Whatever you give him, he's promised to give back to you in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Hallelujah. And he said he'll cause men to give unto your bosom. Hallelujah. Abraham was a bin giver. Think about it. God asked him, his only son, the only child, after all these years, he was over 90. The son that, he most prized in. I'm going to leave my inheritance. I have a son to carry on my name. God said, sacrifice that son for me. Hey, Aine Gbeobila Ahami. Sister Obaya, kill your son, Melvin, for me. Most of us would think I'm going crazy. Seriously, if you study psychology, the doctors will say you are either hallucinating or you are smoking something, you know, or you are bipolar or schizophrenic. Hallelujah. You will tell yourself, oh, me no ni bi na abonsan can won you me. This day, that's how you kill your son for me. Somebody, I'm gonna think I'm crazy. But yet, when God told Abraham, sacrifice your son for me, even though it hurt him so much, oh God, this only child that you've given to me, guess what? He went ahead. He prepared the offering. He prepared the sacrifice, ready to kill. In his heart, he was willing. Even though he was afraid, he was willing to do it. Even though this woman was afraid, she was willing to do it. She did it, and guess what? God blessed him. Even though he was afraid to do it, he did it, and guess what? God blessed him. He made him father of many nations. He blessed him over what he could ever imagine. Hallelujah. The woman with the two coins, all she had were two coins. Everybody was given. And they were not just given any small offering. But guess what? Because that was all that she had, when she dropped it in, heaven noticed it. How is heaven going to notice your giving? How is heaven going to notice your offering? That's when you give out of nothing. When you give out of little. When you don't have and you give. That tells God a lot about you. Hallelujah. Amen. That draws his attention to you. Hallelujah. Amen. That puts you in what? Miracle territory. Hallelujah. Amen. Divine Healers Church, if we want to see miracles in our lives and in this church, God is telling us that one of the ways to place ourselves in miracle territory is by giving without fear. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't be afraid that if I give, I won't have enough for my bills or enough to spend. The devil has placed so much fear in our lives that sometimes it cripples us and it blocks us from our miracles and blessings. Hallelujah. I mean, what's the worst that can happen if you don't pay your mortgage? What's the worst that can happen if you don't pay your phone bill? What's the worst that can happen if you don't pay your car bill? They will repossess your house, repossess your car, cut off your phone bill. But guess what? If now I decide to give God and I don't have enough to pay my mortgage, usually they won't throw you out right away. They'll give a couple of months. If still I have given such a substantial amount that I cannot meet my mortgage for months, they throw me out. I am not afraid because I have a mother in this country. I can go to her house. She has many empty rooms. If for any reason she's not here with rooms for me, I have sisters. For any reason, no sisters. I have aunties and uncles. For any reason, if they all turn their backs on me, I have my church family. Hallelujah. If I should go to Uncle Pastor Nat right now and I tell him, Pastor Nat, I do not have money to pay my mortgage. My house is on foreclosure. I don't have anywhere to sleep. I need somewhere. He will gladly open his door and say, come, bring your things. Hello? Nakaino. Right? So it's not like there is no way out. There is always a way. But the thing is, the devil has placed so much fear that one shikbe yake she, hey, what can they do? Hallelujah. And if worse comes to worse and you do not have any family in this country is the best place to be. Because guess what? They have homeless shelters. You have a place to go sleep, a warm place to sleep at night. They serve warm breakfast. They serve warm dinner. But guess what? Our pride will not allow us. But God has provided that. God has provided that to somebody. That's a blessing. If you are in Africa, you will not have such a blessing. Hallelujah. You will not have such a privilege called a homeless shelter. To go and eat for free, to go and sleep, have a roof over your head for the night. Yes. We don't see all those things as blessings. And we don't think about all those things because our minds are blocked and filled with fear by the devil. Oh my goodness, I'm going to die if I don't pay my phone bill. Meanwhile, talking on your phone and gossiping, brings you more sin than ever, puts you, you know, into the path of sin, and you don't want that. If you don't talk on your, if you don't have phone to talk, there's pay phones. There's always a way out. No pay phones, there are emails. You know, now they have social media. You go to the library, you know, you need to communicate with somebody. You can go on WhatsApp. I don't use all those things, Twitter and all those things. Yes, they have all that. So what are you afraid of? You don't pay your car. You don't have money to pay your car. God knows you don't have money to pay your car because you get that money. You sacrifice that money for him. Listen, I am not going to fear. Devil, I am not going to worry because there are buses. There are trains. And if worse comes to worse, I have my church family. That's why we are a family. Hallelujah. If I call Uncle David, Uncle David, I need a ride. Uncle David will not turn me down. And the best part is now our pastors are going to be on retirement, so you can call them for a ride. I'm kidding. Please, don't bother them. but yeah, it is never the end. Hallelujah. But we have become slaves to bills in this country. Hallelujah. Proverbs 22:7 says, and the borrower becomes the lender's slave. Some of us spend our whole lives paying student loans, mortgage loans, credit card bills. Salime, yes, etc. Salime, I have a lot of Salime. Sometimes I say that the amount I owe can buy a house. Those are all ways to enslave us, but we don't see it. The devil knows that if he enslaves you in these debts and bills, he will get you to commit your time to work because you have to pay them. So you will work extra. You work overtime just to pay those bills. Whilst doing the overtime, you don't have time for God. That's exactly what it is. He knows it. Whilst doing the overtime, you don't have time for God. But what we don't realize is whilst doing the overtime trying to pay those bills, there are holes in our bank accounts, in our bags. So all that work and it's going away. Hallelujah. Amen. Less time for God. Which means he has enough time to fill your mind with worries and fear. But the thing is, our closets are filled with clothes and shoes. Hallelujah. Amen. And in this country, you can never go hungry. You can never go hungry. And I'm saying it again, you can never go hungry. If you let go of your pride, you can never go hungry. Hallelujah. So when God is trying to tell you that do not worry about what you will eat, where you will sleep, or what you will wear, you find it hard to believe and take him at his word and have faith because your spirit is filled with fear. Hallelujah. And he has told us that he has not given us the spirit of fear. He has given us the Holy Spirit who brings in us power, love, and sound mind. Hallelujah. So how can we be filled with the Holy Spirit and still walk around here in fear? Hallelujah. We should ask ourselves, are we really filled with the Holy Spirit? When we look at the disciples, they were not afraid for their lives. They neither worried about material things nor possessions. Their minds were more occupied with the kingdom of God and spreading the gospel. Hallelujah. And so the devil, in that instance, the devil can't really use that venue or that avenue to put fear in their lives because they are not afraid. Hallelujah. They didn't have to worry about all those things. Those who are driven by fear will never be generous givers. You have to be driven by faith. For the Bible says, without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. Do not be afraid of letting go of what you have in case you don't have enough. God is telling you that your bin of flour shall not be what? Used up. The Lord is looking to see if out of the little he has given you, you'll be faithful with your giving. And that will determine if he's going to give you much. Hallelujah. The bin givers. Are you a bin giver? If you are, do not be afraid to give. The third group of givers I call the basket givers, or the basket people. Hallelujah. Shall we read the book of Mark chapter 6, verse 34 through 44?
Praise the Lord. Mark chapter 6, verse 34 to 44. Amen. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now very late. Send them away so they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy something for themselves to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat," they said to him. "And are we to go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves have you? Go and see." When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he ordered them to get all the people to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds of fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before the people. And when he divided the 2 fish among them all, and all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of fish. Those who had eaten the loaves numbered 5,000 men. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You can also see the story in the book of John 6, 9 through 13. Hallelujah. Amen. It says, a boy gave what? 5 loaves of fish and 2 bread. No. 5 loaves of bread. Yeah, exactly. Right. And they took up what? 12 baskets full of fragments after everybody, 5,000 people, have eaten. Now, basket givers, they find a need that is greater than their own. And they say, "Lord, here's what I have. Take it, bless it, and use it." Those are the basket givers. They find a need greater than their own. They say, "Lord, here's what I have. Take it. Bless it and use it." Hallelujah. Amen. Notice what a contrast this boy was to the disciples. First, the disciples tried to escape the problem. They told Jesus, "Send them away that they may go and buy themselves bread." Hallelujah. Amen.
Send them away.
We shouldn't run away from our problems. Hallelujah. Amen. There is a saying that where there is a will, there is what? A way. Your faith only grows by facing your problems and looking to God for answers. Hallelujah. Indeed, when you solve the problems, you position yourself to receive from God. Hallelujah. And to receive from what he has in store for you next. Hallelujah. But don't run away from your problems. Hallelujah. Second, they didn't know what they had. Jesus said, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." Moses had a rod, but it parted the Red Sea. David had a slingshot. It brought down a giant. You may not know it, but God has given you the answer. He's given you something capable of multiplying once you put it into the hands of our Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. The key is what? Go and see. Go and see what you have. Most of the time we think, "I don't have much." But what we don't realize is, the little we have is much. Hallelujah. Amen. Because you don't consider the $100 you have much. You don't consider the $50 you have much. You don't consider the $20 you have much. But guess what? God is telling you that $20, if that's all you have and you give it to me, I will multiply that $20 for you. Hallelujah. Go and see. Go and see. If you don't already realize it, he's telling you, go and see. Hallelujah. Amen. Third, they despise the day of small things. They said, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves, 5 loaves of bread, and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? You can see here that the disciples did not have the spirit. Well, who can say? What they were seeing as a problem, Jesus was seeing as an opportunity. Hallelujah. If we would only stop seeing our challenges as problems in our lives and start seeing them as opportunities for God to glorify himself. Oh, I don't have a job, so I cannot give. You don't have a job, that is a problem. But don't look at it as a problem. Look at it as an opportunity for God to glorify himself, for you to come here and give him testimony. Because out of your joblessness, when you give, that's when the jobs come. And that's when what? All the money that you're seeking, the income, it comes. Hallelujah. For 3 years, I was looking for a job. I was out of school. Before I was out of school, I had prayed that, Lord, before I finish school, give me a job. But I finished and there was no job. What did I do? Whatever I had in my bank account from, you know, the school fees left over that they gave me, I was thinking, oh, okay, so in this time period that I'm going to be using looking for a job, I'll chop this small to pay my bills. And some of these student loan people, they don't care. Right away, they want you to start paying. And me, where am I going to get the money from? So I'm like, okay, I will use this money small to pay them until I can find something. But the thing is, it got to a point the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, the only way for your breakthrough is to give what you have. And so, hey, I'm thinking, going back and forth, when I shouldn't. I went into my bank and thought, whatever I had in there, which wasn't, you know, a one-figure amount, it wasn't, you know, a bulk figure, it had cents after. I took everything out of that bank account. I gave it into the hands of my pastor, and I said, here, this is my sacrifice unto the Lord, and I am believing the Lord for a job because I have spent thousands of dollars in school for a degree, and I cannot sit here and not work with that degree. That degree has put me in debt. That degree has to pay up. But anyway, I prayed and gave that money. And you would think that right away something will happen. It took 3 years. 3 years of doing, you know, 2 jobs here and there, but not the ones in my field that will yield the money I'm wanting it to yield. And I have prayed, didn't I? And I have given, didn't I? But guess what? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Within that 3 years, I had grown spiritually. Within that 3 years, he had taught me so much. Within that 3 years, he has strengthened me and made me ready for what he was about to give me. Hallelujah. Because guess what? When he started opening the doors, they were overwhelming. To the point where I was sitting there complaining, ah, Lord, this is too much. I don't even have time to enjoy this. I don't even have time to take this in. And I asked myself, oh, Naka, you are very foolish. Because you asked and the Lord blessed. Within a short period of time, everything was happening like that. I didn't have a job. I was planning a wedding. But the beginning of the year, bam, he gave me a job. And then after that, bam, a car. After all these years of taking the bus, calling people and bothering them for a ride, I got my own car and it was a brand new car. How exciting is that? And I'm telling God, I didn't even get to enjoy the feeling you get from having a car because I was too busy planning a wedding. I was too busy working the job you have given me. And then at the same time, I was too busy buying a house. Hey, buying a house, everything at once. That process is a long process, tedious. But the Lord blessed me. Hallelujah. And the Lord will bless you if only you'll be faithful with your little. Hallelujah. Instead of looking at your lack, look at what God's abundance and his willingness to work on your behalf. Hallelujah. Don't look at what you don't have. Look at what you have. What God has given you that you can give back to him. And what God is going to give you. Hallelujah. Amen. When you have the Spirit of God in you, there are certain things in life that you just don't worry about. Because God has it all under control. Hallelujah. And he uses our problems to glorify himself. So don't look at your problems as problems. Look at them as opportunities for God to put a testimony in your mouth and to glorify himself. Hallelujah. Amen. Now let's look at the final group of givers. I call them the excel givers. Hallelujah. Amen. And that's in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 to 6.
Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 6. We want to tell you further, brethren, about the grace, the favor, and the spiritual blessing of God, which has been evident in the churches of Macedonia, arousing in them the desire to give alms. For in the midst of an ordeal of severe tribulation, their abundance of joy and their depth of poverty together have overflowed in wealth of lavish generosity on their part. For as I can bear witness, they gave according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, and they did it voluntarily, begging us most insistently for the favor and the fellowship of contributing in this ministration for the relief and support of the saints in Jerusalem. Nor was the gift of their merely, praise the Lord, nor was this gift of theirs merely the contribution that was expected, but first they gave themselves to the Lord and to us as his agents by the will of God, entirely disregarding their personal interests. They gave as much as they possibly could, having put themselves at the disposal of to be directed by the will of God. So much so that they have urged Titus that as he began it, he should also complete this beneficent and gracious contribution among you, the Church of Corinth. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. This is talking about the Macedonian churches. Hallelujah. Amen. Who contributed to the collection of the impoverished saints in Jerusalem. It says their giving was exceptional. Hallelujah. Their giving was exceptional. And the Bible reveals 3 startling facts about that offering they gave. Hallelujah. It says they gave with joy, number one. They gave with what? Joy. Now, the Macedonian church had been persecuted since their founding. They were also financially poor. Yet, they gave with great joy and liberality. Hallelujah. You see, they didn't have much, but they were happy to give whatever little they had. God says, give. Not grudgingly or out of necessity. For I love what? Cheerful givers. Hallelujah. If you're going to give out of your little, don't grumble. That, when you do that, you might as well not give because you have just tainted your offering. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, give, not grudgingly or out of necessity because I have to. Don't give because you have to. Give because you want to and give because you know who you are giving it to. Hallelujah. Amen. You are not giving it to the pastors here. Or you think you're giving it to Brother Israel? You're giving it to Uncle David? What are they going to do with your money? Listen, when you give, think about who you're giving it to. You're giving it to God. And it's not them who are going to bless you. It is God who's going to bless you. It is God who's going to open the ways for you. Hallelujah. Whatever they do with the money, don't worry about it. Because guess what? Whoever handles God's money, God will deal with that person. If they don't know it, he will. So your Yours is not to worry. Don't worry about that part at all. You just give. The rest, let God handle it. Be rest assured, he will deal with them. Hallelujah. So those pastors who run around and ask him for this money, pledge this money, give me this money, give me this money, and they're walking around driving their Lamborghini and 5-3 cars and mansions, and you are so worried about all that. Listen, God will deal with them in whatever ways they are using the money that they're not supposed to. But don't worry about that. That's between them and God. Hallelujah. But yours is that you want your miracles. Hallelujah. And so you do what you have to do to get it. Hallelujah. They gave with joy. And then they gave even beyond their ability to give. Hallelujah. I know we had read previously in the Deuteronomy when, you know, God says, give according to your ability. But these people gave beyond their ability to give. It says they were poor, financially poor. And they were going through trials. They were going through problems. But guess what? They gave beyond. How do you give beyond your ability? How do you give beyond your ability? Hallelujah. And it says they urgently pleaded to give into the offering. Who does that? Please, let me give. Please. How many of us know anybody who will plead to give? I don't see any hands. Not many of us. Because in the first place, nobody wants to give. Because they have plans for their money. They have things they are thinking of buying. They have things they are thinking of using it for. So nobody is going to plead, oh, fine, let me give. Oh, fine. You know, but the thing is, it's not just your money. It's not just the money they were pleading to give. And it's not just whatever substance they had little that they were pleading to give. But they were pleading to give of themselves to go help. Please, let me help in the house of the Lord. Please, let me do this. Please, let me do that. Please, let me be a part of building the kingdom of God. How many of us do that? No, we wait to be called. And even when we are called, crap, it's so hard to get us to commit to the house of the Lord. Why? Hallelujah. So if God is calling these people exceptional, that's because they gave beyond their means. Hallelujah. And they were happy to do it. Hallelujah. Sadly, there are very few examples of people urgently pleading to give their offerings into the work of God. But as we can see, the Macedonians did it. So there's no excuse. Hallelujah. Some people don't want to go to church because when they go to church, all they do is ask for money. All they do is say, give. And so they'd rather sit home. They'd rather stay home. I'm serious. There are some people like that. Oh, sorry, wait, they woke up. All they want is money, 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 money. Hallelujah. Yeah. The moment somebody starts talking about money in church, the atmosphere changes. Hallelujah. Yeah. People start feeling uncomfortable. I'm saying this because I am one of you. Hallelujah. I'm a congruent like you. And so I know. And so if I'm standing here, I'm not standing here to ask you for money. I'm not standing here to tell you give. I'm not standing here to tell you to pledge. I'm here to share the revelation I've received of his word with you. Hallelujah. So that you too can step into miracle territory. Hallelujah. The Macedonians believers, even though they were poor and they were facing trials, they caught the revelation of giving. They pleaded to give, and they had joy in giving. Their eyes were open to the fact that they were not giving to the pastors or the individual saints of Jerusalem. They were giving to God because they love him. Hallelujah. When you truly love someone, you are willing to do anything for them. Hallelujah. Mr. Soa, you love your son. Wouldn't you go to the ends of the earth for him? to make sure that he has a good life, to make sure that he's well taken care of, to make sure that nobody harms him. Hallelujah. You will stand to protect him. Hallelujah. When you love somebody, you are willing to go the extra mile for him. So when you love God, it shows in your giving. Hallelujah. And it showed in the Macedonian people's, the Macedonian church's giving. Hallelujah. They were so happy because they knew, hey, me too, I get the chance to do something for God. Me too, I get the chance to give to God. Hey, and guess what? I am giving God something that will make God really notice me because so many people are giving too. And so me, the short person, Zacchaeus, I have to get on my tree for God to see me. Hallelujah. Amen. Give with joy. Give with open heart, knowing that you are giving out of love to God. Hallelujah. God is good. Hallelujah. The Macedonians realized that if God so loved them that he gave the life of his son for nobodies like them, then whatever they give, they can never outdo the sacrifice he did for them. Hallelujah. Never. Think about his love for you. Think about his love. There's a songwriter that says, think about his love. Think about his goodness. Think about his grace that's brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Hallelujah. His love is too great for us not to love him back, enough to give without grudge. Hallelujah. God is interested in our giving because it reveals our love, fear, and reverence for him. Hallelujah. Amen. But sadly, many Christians, their giving shows little. It shows how little they are walking with God. Hallelujah. Amen. The believers in Macedonians, they attained a level of giving and confidence in their God that few of us will ever attain. What a tremendous level of faith. Hallelujah. I pray that God gives us that level of faith to give so that we will stop complaining and we will stop looking around other churches. Oh, how come they are getting all these miracles? How come God is doing this among them? How come God is, well, do you know what they gave? Do you know what they did? Do you know their heart service to God? Do you know their commitment? Because guess what? If you sacrifice your time unto God, the miracles nobody can stop. He will give you testimonies upon testimonies to give to his glory. Hallelujah. So if you are a bad giver, consider your ways. Start putting God first in your finances. Because you have holes in your bag. Take note of it. You have holes in your bag. If you are a bin giver, do not be afraid. Give, and God will give back to you. Hallelujah. If you are a basket giver, place what you got into God's hands. Watch him multiply it. Hallelujah. Amen. Just like he did with the 5,000. He saw what the disciples saw as a problem. He just laughed. You don't know what my Father can do. Hallelujah. Amen. Place what you've got into God's hands and watch him multiply it. And last, if you are an excel giver, know that nothing your enemies do will stop you. No trial that comes your way, not even poverty, not lack, hallelujah, amen, will stop you. Hallelujah. Amen. May the Lord bless his word. Hallelujah. Amen.